Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or Star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon. I am Nick Francesco.
And I'm Dave Enright.
Raging Rob Linton is on the buttons, and we are Sound Bites. Steve Ray is apparently...
In transit.
In transit or somewhere else, and mayhap we'll see him soon or later. But in the meantime, we will be taking your calls at the numbers you just heard. There's a local number. I'll repeat this because apparently from a number of comments people have made, they don't get these numbers when the guy's saying them. We're 222-1180 in the 585 area code. Outside the 585 area code, we have the Choice One toll-free line, 800-295-1180. And if you are a Verizon Wireless customer, it's star 1180 on your Verizon Wireless phone. And we're going to go to the news now. And Dave, you've got some very interesting things
here. Yeah, this is one article, and a lot of folks might have missed it, you know, because it was tucked way down the lower corner of the paper. But the power cords, it seems, sold with the HP inkjet printers. You know, it's a gray wire that hooks into it's called an LS7C connector that came with the HP DeskJet 800 series, 900 series, the PhotoSmart 1000 series, 1100 series, 12, 13 inkjet printers. Well, it seems that there's a defect in it, folks, that this little plug can break, you know, due to brittleness and expose the wires. They advise you to stop using it. They've got a free toll-free number you can call. It's 1-800-877-7917.
Give me that. Give me that.
No, I'll get this right. Yeah. It is 877-917-4378. You can call this number. We'll repeat it again later on in case you didn't get it. But you can call, and they will send you a replacement cord. See, I took a week off of vacation.
That's it.
And I'm still trying to get it.
I do need that because I actually have an HP 1100A.
And they advise you to call, and they'll gladly send it out, you know, and it's not worth, you know, technically burning down your house if this does dry out and get very brittle. Or it could cause electrical shock and cause you great harm that way also.
There you go. And it is a free replacement, so go for it.
Yeah.
And now my story, you know, it's hard. I've said this before. It's hard to feel sorry for Microsoft about anything. You know, it's hard to think of them as the underdog, but I really do kind of feel for them in this one. This is kind of sad. It seems that Microsoft accidentally sent the Nimda worm to South Korean developers when it distributed the Korean language versions of VisualStudio.net.
Maybe that was planned.
Maybe.
Nobody will admit to it, but...
Maybe it was. What? Unfortunately, this is Microsoft's flagship development tool, and it picked up this little worm when a third-party company translated the program's help files into Korean. The virus did not come from Microsoft itself, but Microsoft, of course, gets dinged for it. This is yet another stain on their reputation. The company is working to convince the public and the technical community that its products are secure. In a company-wide memo that Bill Gates sent out last January, He started up a trustworthy computing initiative, and this is just another black eye on that. Like I said, it didn't come from Microsoft's machines. It came from the third-party company that translated the files into Korean. Unfortunately, what happened was, and this is one of their people, says that under Microsoft security policy, the company normally scans every file being transferred to the master of a program. But in this case, the company only analyzed the files it expected to find. And since the NIMDA-infected file had been added by the worm, the company overlooked it. Well, excuse me, but what kind of dim bulb writes a file scanning program looking for viruses that only scans the files it knows are going to be there? Well, what do you think a virus does but put new files... Oh, never
Bingo.
Mind. Never mind.
Speaking
anyway.
Of viruses... Just so you folks know, there's another virus out there. It's called the Nori, and Nori will literally wipe out your whole hard drive. what I'm advising folks to doing, if you've listened to us for years, you know that we preach weekly to update your antivirus program. The other thing you're going to have to start doing, we're going to have to start doing, is telling folks to do it more than once a week. Because what these pirates are doing is they're releasing the viruses the same day the DATS files come out. So they've got usually a whole, you know, a few days, because say on a Wednesday, the 13th, they came out with the new DAT files. Well, that was the same day two new viruses came out, and this Nori was one of them. And they figure, well, we're going to have a few days to at least infect some folks. So not only on Wednesday check for the updates, but maybe every few days. We're getting into the summer months, and that seems to not only bring up the sunspots and everything else, but these folks coming out and creating these new viruses. So make it a regular routine to at least a couple times a week check for updates. It doesn't hurt. It only takes a few seconds.
Right. A number of you I know are on broadband connections and leave your machines on 24 hours a day. It's ludicrously simple, trivial, to set your antivirus software up to check every morning at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. The machine's on anyway.
Yep.
You're not really doing anything. Have it checked. By the time you get up, it's done.
Or by the time you go and get coffee and come back.
Okay. But, speaking of coffee.
Yeah,
I want to thank my new best friend in the whole world, Mr. Danny Gray. Thank you so much. We have Bill Gray's food up here today.
That cheeseburger was fantastic.
It is the world's greatest cheeseburger, and I can attest to that. I want to thank the folks at Bill Gray's for providing this great food. I am...
Well, normally by the time we got up here, there was no food left
There's no food left. But,
so Danny is really taking good care of us.
They brought us some wonderful food. So we're going to sit and digest for a minute while we take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the phones at Soundbites on 1180 WHAF.
Did we just get slammed?
I promise you, someday I'm going to meet that guy in a dark alley. It doesn't have to be that dark either. Before we get to the phones, I have a plea for those of you out there. Normally, I record the show every weekend, but Steve said he was going to do it this week, but he's not here. So if anybody out there is recording this as an MP3, please send it to me so I can set it up on the archives, because this week we'll be without if somebody doesn't help us out. We're going to go to the phones now, and our first caller is David from Webster. Welcome, David. What's your question?
Good morning.
Hi.
Or good afternoon. I have a Windows 98 running Compaq Presario 5051.
Mm-hmm.
When I scan files and save them as JPEGs and then want to return to them later, sometimes I just go to the Windows directory for them, and when I try and click on the icon to launch it, it says can't find the application. It prompts me to look for something called Picture Viewer EXE. I would like it to automatically go to Photoshop to launch that file.
Oh, that's easy.
Association.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to change the association. Right-click on the file.
Mm-hmm.
You should see a choice of open with. If you don't, click somewhere else, and then right-click on the file while holding down the shift key. I forget which version of Windows they changed that in, so
okay.
I send you both. And you should see a choice that says open with.
Okay.
Click on that. Scroll through. It'll take a minute to build a list. Scroll through the list until you find Photoshop. Click on it. Down below is a little checkbox that says always use this application to open this kind of file. Check
Great.
It. Say okay. From now on, you're good. You're good to go.
You guys are my heroes.
That's what I like
Thank
to
you.
Hear.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Our next caller, we're heroes. Our next caller...
We got to add that to our resume.
Heroes.
Hero Nick.
Our next caller is Roger from Rochester. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
Sirs, I've got an annoying problem. For a while, I'm running Windows 98 Second Edition. For a while, the desktop was opening arbitrarily, either with small or large icons. When the small icons opened, I could go into the settings and change them to large. When the large icon opens, it won't let me change to small. And lately, the last dozen or so times I've opened, it's opened with large icons, and I would prefer the small ones. When I go into the settings to change it, the display under the... it says small fonts, and the small fonts is in that faded font. It won't let you change.
When you log in, are you logging in as someone?
No.
No.
Isn't it, if you right-click on the start button.
Yeah.
Right-click on the start button.
Wait a minute, I'm just having Nick check up. There's a place where you can say use a large icon. Go to open. Right click on that. No, right click.
Right click properties.
Go, yeah, open.
I don't know what you think you're looking for.
There's a place where you can go to the taskbar and you say use a small icon.
Oh, you want to be under settings, taskbar.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I went into settings to change the appearance or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The settings, and then they go to advanced.
Yeah.
And then it allows you to change the display of the font size.
Right.
And when the windows opens with small font size, it allows me to change to large. But when it opens with large, the box where the font size is identified, it says small fonts, but it's in that faded type.
Okay.
When I click on the arrow, nothing happens.
Right, under display properties.
One question for you. What resolution are you running?
The 90, where's the resolution?
1024 by 768 or?
800 by...
It's true colors, is that where...
Two colors?
True colors, 32 bits.
Yeah, and it should, next to that, say 1024 by 768 or 1280 by 1024?
It's 640 by 480.
Okay. It sounds like is that you're not... It sounds like a problem with your video driver. When you run in big fonts, I think what you're real... Do you get little... Does it say safe mode in the corners?
Safe mode, no.
Okay. But it sounds like a problem with your video driver. You're having a... When it comes up in 640 by 480, when it comes up with those big icons, I think the problem you're having is that it's not recognizing your driver and giving you your card, rather, and giving you the generic drivers.
One thing I would suggest, try changing it to 800 by 600. Usually 640 by 480, folks are usually using the larger icon.
It's not letting me change either.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's a driver issue.
Oh.
What I think you need to do is to figure out what, the next time it boots up right, check your video card, and then go to the manufacturer's website and download the latest drivers for that specific card for Windows 98.
Okay.
Redo the drivers, reload the drivers, follow their directions. They'll tell you how to do it. Everybody's different.
Yeah, it's just annoying, that's all.
And, and what should happen is that it should now use the proper drivers. What it sounds like is your drivers have become corrupted. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. When they do, you get the small icons you want in a bigger screen area.
Right.
And when they don't, when it doesn't recognize the driver or the card, then you get the smaller size, or the bigger size font, which is actually a smaller screen area.
Yeah, and you can't look out. It's hard to look outside the screen area.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it is because of this driver problem.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you so much. Our next caller, that would be me. I should be talking now. Our next caller is Bill from Rochester. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Hi, thank you for taking the call.
So, almost didn't. I don't know where I thought I was, but I'm back now. Thanks.
Nick, and you folks, your opinion on choosing an operating system.
Don't bother. Don't choose one. Use them all.
Before the end of the month, I understand that Microsoft is recalling all of Windows 98. Operating system, they won't be available retail anymore. And I'm going to have a system built before the end of the month, and most of the local assemblers are offering me the option of either Windows 98 or XP. And I'm not familiar enough with XP, but I am familiar with 98. Which is a better choice, if there is a better choice?
Well, it's not that they're actually recalling them. They're just stopping support, and they're not making them anymore. So whatever you find on the shelf is it until they're gone.
Okay.
Yeah, and XP, believe it or not, is I've been running it, you know, because they did some of the beta testing, is rock solid. I like it. It's it'll use whatever memory you give it, and I haven't seen a crash. You don't get the crashes like you do with Windows 98 and everything else. You know, there's something locks up, it freezes up the whole machine, and you got to sit there and reset it. Now you can do a Control-Alt-Delete and just shut down that one session, and it doesn't mess up the whole machine.
The big thing with XP is it needs more hardware than 98 does. Faster RAM, faster processor, more memory, bigger hard drive. But if you're building a machine now, you're going to put in all that better stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I would suggest go to XP.
Home edition or professional?
The real difference between them is how they network. Unless you're going to be attaching to a fairly large network and need some of that support, you don't really need to get professional.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Our next caller is Donald from Perry. Welcome, Donald.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I've got a question about Red Hat Linux.
Yeah.
When I tried to, I downloaded something from iOmega for the USB 250 zip.
Yeah.
And it gave me a tar file. I know how to install RPMs, but how do you do the tar files?
Is it a .tar or .tar.gz?
Tar.gz.
Okay, here's what you do. You open up a command box, the terminal window.
Yes.
And you type tar space xv. Hold on. Tar xzv.
You got to see this, folks. So you're sitting there typing.
X as in x-ray, mm-hmm. Z as in zip, V as in verify, F as in file, space.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the file.
Okay.
Hit enter. And what that will do is, generally, it'll put it in a, in its own subdirectory. And you'll see that as it happens with the subdirectory it's created. And it puts all the files in there. Then you go in there, and there's usually a README and an install, and those are in capital letters.
Okay.
And you follow the directions in them, and by the time you're done, poof, you're done.
Okay, I did run gzip, and I got to an executable file, but it won't do anything.
Yeah, see, take the original back and do what I told you. Tar okay. XZVF and the file name, and you should be on your way.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Okie doke.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. We're going to take a quick break right now, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, the return of Mr. Stephen Ray, Raging Rob Linton on the buttons, and me, Nick Francesco, on the universe's longest-running computer show, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
For one brief shining moment, we had Steve Ray here in the studio, but he's gone again.
Well, he went to get the Bill Grace, because we already wound up eating our Bill Grace food, so he's just getting...
Oh, he's back.
Oh.
He's back. And he's Rob got... Linton, of course, is on the buttons. And PK from Penfield is on the phone. Welcome, PK. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Great show as always. I'm looking in the store eventually to find out Soundbites logo on an umbrella would be good.
Umbrella would be nice, but we love the store. Thank you. Those of you who are fans of Soundbites can now
right
declare
there.
Your geekness to the world and get stuff from the Soundbites store, which you can find on our website at soundbites.org. Thanks.
Absolutely. Questions, just so I don't commit unknowingly the same sin again. Yesterday, looked at the screen and magically had this VFAT missing system halted error message on the front. I tried to reboot and tried it once, same thing happened. The next time, I couldn't even turn the power off, so I had pulled the plug. The only tool that I'm real familiar with is to go ahead and restore a different version of the registry. That seemed to do it. I'm having to reload some other drivers and the like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure other than actually what VFAT is, unless it's an alternate form of cellulite or something. But barring that, if that V was anywhere related to video, in the prior week had installed a 80-gig Western Digital Caviar hard drive to go with the Pinnacle Capture Board to do a little translation of analog video to digital. And that worked the night before, just before the last big operation I did.
Mm-hmm.
Except at the end it said, oh, fatal error type of thing there, and I canceled it. I was done with the program, but nothing, you know, no error message that way.
Also done with the computer for the night.
How big is your power supply?
Oh, it's a couple inches by, yeah. I
yeah, okay, thank you. The thing is, if you've got a big...
It was a good one, though.
Okay, next caller. If you've got a...
my shortcoming you're bringing. Okay.
If you've got a couple of... we're talking about... Never mind. We don't really want to go
don't
there.
Go there.
Wait, is that you, Dr. Ruth?
Exactly, exactly.
Okay,
and yes.
That's
right. And what you want to do now? Is if you've got a video capture board, I'm definitely trying to get back on the track here. If you've got a video capture board and a couple of hard drives and a this and a that, it may well be that you have exceeded the rating specification of your power supply. And what sounds like happened when it couldn't find the VFAT is that it could not find the driver for the hard drive, either on it or in memory. And that could well be because it's not drawing enough power.
More power.
The other reason could be that there's something wrong with the drive, but let's not go there yet. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on.
Well, I tried the Lifeguard, whatever from Western Digital to run that, and it came out fine.
Yeah, but see, as long as there's not anything else drawing the power, it will come out fine.
So it would be back to the power again.
Yeah, you try disconnecting it and see how things run for a little while, and that kind of would you know, narrow it down for you. Chances are it's a 250-watt power supply in it, if it was a stock machine.
Yeah, it's a Dell 4100.
You might want to beef it up to a 350 or a 400. It's not that expensive, $50 or less. and you can get yourself into a 300 or, you know, 350 or 400 watt power supply.
Okay, yeah, you know, and I won't mention, but, you know, had it professionally installed and said, do I need it? Oh, well, you know, for cooling, fine. I got a new box, so do we have another fan to cool it? I asked about power supply. I will go back and check it out and get a new 300 to 400, did you say, Dave?
Yeah, I'd say 350 to 400. And, by the way, at the same time, as long as you're going to do that, get a couple more fans. Fans can't hurt.
Yeah, okay. Any spaces in there that you can put other additional, you know, cooling fans, front or back, you're just helping prolong the life of your machine.
Just remember these two words, fans good.
Fan good. Okay. I think
I'm good.
And I take that as a boost to self-esteem because you're basically telling me I'm weak, but I'll leave it at that. No. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you.
Well, before we get back to the phones, I have someone here that has a message. This is my son, Matthew. Can you say, Mommy, come pick me up?
Hey, Ma. Hi, Mom.
So, Shirley, if you're listening, get out of the hairdryer and come pick up your son.
Do they have headphones in the hairdryers now?
You know, it's always the unexpected here on this show.
Special guest.
Double entendres about power supplies and four-year-olds.
Only in
talking to their moms. Golly, Ned, we'll just tug at your heartstrings while we fix your computers. Our next caller, Roger from Rochester. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
Hi. I have Windows XP Home Edition, I bought a new program. I don't expect you to understand all the programs, but it's a CD burning program.
Yeah. Which one?
It's Easy. What the hell
Easy Creator.
Easy CD Creator.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, Roxio or R-O-X-I-O?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, anyway, I just bought it, so it's kind of new, and I don't know if it's my computer or if it's a program or maybe it's just me. But I formatted the disk. That's what they said to do. It said no musical files can exist until you format it. So I formatted. So what happens? I go to get my file for putting it on CD, and it won't even take the brand new disc after they formatted it.
Yeah, here's the problem, Roger. Even that package out of the box, what you have to do, it's a known issue, especially with Windows XP. I went through the same growing pains. What you have to do is go to the Roxio website, and they have updated XP drivers for the burner and for their software.
Okay.
And it's astute. Hold on just a second. There's a couple files that you have to download.
Okay.
And they have a specific procedure that you have to follow to the letter. If you try to, you know, do it one way versus the other, versus the way they say it, it won't work. So what I would recommend is go to the Roxio website, look for the drivers, you'll see XP. They'll mention a couple files that you'll have to download. Also, print off the instructions. You follow those instructions, and I guarantee you shouldn't have to reformat blank CD.
Well, there's the other issue is that there's several ways to make a CD, and Roxio gives you all those ways. One is to format the disk as a direct CD data disk. Another way is to write an ISO data disk, and another way is to write an audio disk. All three formats are mutually incompatible with each other. So if you formatted the direct CD disk, you won't be able to put audio files on it to play in your audio player. So you have to know what kind of files you want to put on it. So
I
know
but they didn't ask me what kind. All you do is have one choice. It says format, and then you can either compress it or not.
There's a create CD button that you have to click.
Right. Start with updating those drivers, and that should solve most of your problems.
Okay, where do I find that?
At Roxio's website, roxio.com.
Okay, because I did.
Gotta go, Roger.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We're going to take a break. Back in a couple minutes. Dave, Steve, Rob, me, Nick on Soundbites and 1180. WHAM. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
And I'm Steve Ray.
Rob Linton is on the buttons, and we're nothing but quality here at WHAM. And before we get back to the phones, we want to talk a little bit about the poll. Every week on our website at soundbites.org, that's soundbites with a Y, Francis wants me to remind you. You can get to it through WHAM1180.com. Go down to the lower left, and you'll see our lovely faces. Click on that, and you can get to the website.
And we got to get professional pictures.
There's also a comment section. Please, don't send us questions through the comment section. Every time I mention the comment section, somebody sends me a question. I don't answer them. I don't send them to these guys to answer. I throw them away. We answer the questions on the air and in the forums. We'll talk about the forums in a minute, but we don't answer them through the comment. If you have a comment about the show, that's one thing. A computer question, that's not the right place to ask it. But we do a poll every week. Last week's poll was about Hotmail. As you know, there were some questions about Hotmail. I haven't been able to get into Hotmail all week long. I don't know what that's about. But 249 of you answered this poll.
Thank you
so much.
Thank
love
you.
To hear see people taking the poll. And the choices were I use Hotmail as my main email program, as a backup email program. I used to, but I don't now, and never. 63% of you have never used Hotmail. 18% is a backup program, 12% used to but don't now, and only 7% of you use it as your main email program. That means 75% of you do not use Hotmail. 75% of our listeners don't use Hotmail, proving
yes,
the intelligence level of our users is incredibly high.
Unbelievable.
This week's poll, but of course, those who do
not,
use Hotmail, you're pretty smart, too.
Yes,
there's no question of that. There is no question of that. This week's poll, Kenny Cooper. Those of you who have been in the forum certainly
know
Kenny.
No, Kenny.
And Kenny sent me this one. The recent lightning storms, as you know, we have had a few, and the choices are fried my network connection, fried my computer, left me blissfully unaffected, that's my wording, and lightning storms, question mark?
You should have another one there. Was good for computer businesses.
Yeah, exactly. So far, 55 of you have voted, and 80% are blissfully unaffected. So please vote in the polls. That's at soundbites.org. While you're there...
Well, and remember that when there is a lightning storm or the threat of a lightning storm, unplug your modem, unplug your network card, unplug the cable modem, unplug the DSL modem. Just unplug everything.
Right, right, because all of those ways are paths for the electricity to get to your computer.
Which I didn't do during those storms.
Uh-huh.
I fried two DSL modems.
Nice!
Two of the old ones. They said, yeah, evidently they... Well, you know, it didn't shut off the machine... But evidently, those older DSL modems don't take power surges or lightning very well.
No, apparently they don't.
I went through two of them.
We have our forums up if you want to continue the sound bites fun all through the week. You can join the forums. Please let us know what city you're calling from, you're from when you join the forums. We can't reach you with, we're not asking for email addresses, that sort of thing. We just want your to know what city you're from so we can put another pin in the map. And, of course, there's the Soundbite store where you can proclaim your Soundbite geekitude by buying Soundbite's logo merchandise. 57 of you have voted so far. We'll check in on that later. We're going back to the phones now, and our next caller is Jake from Greece. Welcome, Jake. What's your question?
Hi, Nick. I have a conflict between my sound card and my joystick. It was working, and then I had the manufacturer replace the motherboard, the sound card, the video card, and the processor, and the power supply.
Well, you kept what? The case and the keyboard.
That's basically it.
Yeah.
And so now the joystick and sound card aren't working. Tried uninstalling everything, reinstalling, still not working. Took the joystick over to another computer, works fine.
Is this joystick port connected to the sound card?
That's what it's, yes, it is, but it's telling me no device can be found connected.
Well, it's one of two things.
Okay.
Well, one of several things. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. Either there's a conflict in the IRQs.
Which I have no clue what is.
Right. Or the sound, joystick port is turned off on the card.
Does it have onboard sound by chance also?
I'm sorry?
Some of the motherboards come also with, it's a kind of a low-grade sound card and joystick connector on the motherboard.
Yeah, it was an original replacement from Gateway.
Okay.
So does it have those connectors on the motherboard itself or just on the extra card?
It didn't have it on the original, so that's why I had to upgrade to the card I got.
Right. What you need to do first is check to see if indeed... The joystick is port is turned off on the sound card.
Okay.
The way you do that, and it depends, there's like a million sound cards out there, but most of them come with some sort of utility program that lets you go in and look at, the way the card is set up.
Okay, Sound Blaster is...
Right. Yeah. You want to run that utility and see if indeed the joystick is simply turned off.
You might also want to check in the device manager to see within the device manager if the system is seeing the game port, because if you click on the plus sign next to the sound card, you should see game port listed there.
Right, I see several listings there.
Is there a game port?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, still, make sure it's turned on.
Okay.
Then you have to make sure that the driver's loaded.
Right.
Here's one other thing you might want to try to do. Reboot the machine in safe mode.
Mm-hmm.
Go into the device manager.
Mm-hmm.
Go under the sound card.
Mm-hmm.
And remove everything. Remove all the items in the sound card, and then it'll shut down and restart. When it reboots back up in normal mode, it's going to want to refine the drivers.
Right.
You might want to check for some updated drivers.
Before you reboot.
Yeah, before you do this. And, you know, put it in a separate folder. You can label
right.
the folder sound card.
Done
so
that.
When it when it's rebooting now, because safe mode, believe it or not, you'll be surprised. You might see four or five times the sound card in there along with the game port. Eliminate them all. Now when you reboot, it'll sit there and look for it and find the devices. There might be, you know, three or four iterations if you've taken it out, put it in, taken it out, taken
right.
it in. Even though regular mode only shows one incident, you go in safe mode, it might show up four or five
all
times.
Right. Okay.
So the one that works, you've taken out, and the six that are listed don't work.
Right.
Right. Okay.
So try that.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Our next caller, Jerry, all the way from Penyan, New York. Jerry, do we need to yell louder or can you hear us all right?
I think I can hear you okay.
That's what I like to hear.
I got a Dell laptop a couple months ago, and it works fine, except when I print from the Internet or from Outlook Express, the fonts are very large on the printer. And I've tried changing the screen resolution. I've tried to find places where I can change that that font. It doesn't do anything. Any ideas?
Well, everything else prints all right, though?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything's
fine. So when you print from Word or whatever, that's fine?
Those work fine. And if I print from Hotmail, that works okay.
Whoa.
Hotmail inside of Explorer?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's weird. What brand printer is it?
It's a Hewlett-Packard DeskJet 895.
Because there were issues with the Epson printers printing everything too small from
mm-hmm.
websites.
The Hotmail
page in Explorer works fine, but any other page in Explorer doesn't work.
It prints large, and in Outlook Express, all the emails print with a large font.
Which is Microsoft-ish. Do you have Netscape on the machine also?
No.
Oh, that's something to try at least. Try a different browser. See if it's browser-related or printer driver-related.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is very possible is that you've got the fonts.
I should say the fonts in the Explorer.
A couple of different things you need to look at. Under Internet Options, Tools, Internet Options, you can change the fonts and what fonts you use and like that, right?
Right.
In addition, under View, you can change the text size.
Right, and I've tried those.
Could you have a corrupted one, Nick?
Yes, you could, but the thing I'm thinking is if you've got the text size set to, say, smallest,
mm-hmm.
what you're seeing on the screen will be smaller than what prints out.
Mm-hmm.
So you would see one set of fonts and yet use another. And in Outlook Express, you can change the fonts for the printer separately from the fonts that you print separately from the fonts that you view.
How do I change the fonts that I print? I haven't seen that then.
Well, unfortunately, since we do not have our own computers here and are relying on the ones because apparently they can't get network connection in here, I'm relying on the ones here. I don't have Outlook. Wait a minute. Maybe they have it here. I'm just throwing that in because they just put in a new machine this week and put a network drop in for that one. Why didn't they just run another? Oh, never mind. Don't go there. I'm not going
there. One thing to make sure of is in the page setup in IE and OE, you don't have a magnification factor turned on. And most of the time, the page setup will let you say, like, print at 150%.
I think those are at 100.
One thing you might want to try, because we're having a little difficulty here locating them, but is to try a different font in the Internet Explorer.
Not mm-hmm. just a different size.
A different, try TrueType or Arial. Try one of the other fonts. You might have a corrupted font.
Okay.
Give that a shot. Let us know.
Okay.
Okay?
I'll try that.
Thanks, Jerry.
Oh, and you talked about the Hewlett-Packard power cord.
Yeah, I was just about to say, that's you, 800 series.
895 is in that, then.
That's in the 800 series, yep.
What's that 800 number?
It is 877-917-5. 4378.
The number in Bayonne is?
877-917-4378.
Super.
Be any caller and you can get a free power cord.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rage, and Rob Linton on the buttons. I got a smile out of him. And me, Nick Francesco. Oh, he actually said something. I'm sorry you didn't hear it. On Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Where? Oh, right here. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
Rob Linton is on the buttons, and Warren is calling from Penfield. Welcome, Warren. What's your question?
Good afternoon, everybody.
It is some one of those things.
Yeah. I can't get onto the forum. I must have signed on once before and changed or did a password, and I can't remember what it is. So I went in and said, you know, can't remember my password. Put in my email address, and it says that's used by somebody else. And it can't be because I get mail from you, Nick, every
right.
day.
Oh, well, you're talking about my forums.
No, the forum on Soundbites I'm talking about right now.
Okay, the forum on... But you get mail from me at AskNick.com.
Right, and it comes on that mail that I use, the email address
right.
I use there.
Okay, those are two entirely separate things.
Yeah, I understand that, but what I'm saying is...
You can't get into the forum.
It is my email address. Nobody else can use it.
Right.
And that's what I don't know.
So you went to I forgot my password, typed in your username and email address.
Right, and I might have used the wrong username possibly, too. I don't know. I mean, I tried it three different ways, and...
Yeah, that's actually fairly likely. What do you think your did you ever actually post in the forums?
No, I didn't post. That's what I was going to do this time.
Search then. That's just,
I just put in my name and...
Maybe it'd be better if you email Nick
what
names you think it is, and then you could email him back.
Well, yeah, what username did you use?
I think it was Warren Hawes, but I'm not sure of that.
With a space or without a space?
Probably with a space.
Or a hyphen.
But, some of mine is WB Hawes and some is Warren Hawes, and tried that,
yeah.
And tried it without...
There's always that double-edged sword, that it's a good...
Your name is WB Hawes.
I am?
All lowercase.
Oh, okay.
That's the best I can tell you. You're going to have to actually now go back in and do that again.
Yeah, that's...
WB Hawes, your email address, and this time it should send you your password.
Yeah, that'd be fine. And I thank you very much.
No, thank you.
There's that security issue that you shouldn't use the same name and password on everything, but then you never remember which one you used on each thing, so
that's
you can't remember
problem.
Any of them.
Yeah.
Oh, man, yesterday at work, I froze. My fingers froze. I was trying to remember a password for a system, and it just took me a minute. I just had to close my eyes and let my fingers remember the password because my brain was nowhere near. Thanks, Warren, and thank you for posting in the forums. That's what I like to hear. Our next caller is Robert from Irondequoit. Welcome, Robert. What's your question?
Yeah, I downloaded some MP3s from a website, mp3.com.
Right.
And I was trying to burn them on using the software I have to burn CDs, and it wouldn't work.
What error message did you get?
Well, it just says they're the wrong type of file or something.
Are you trying to make an MP3 CD or an audio CD?
Audio CD.
Then the files have to be AIFF. Your software may not convert them for you. You may have to convert them manually.
All right, so how would I do that?
What software are you using?
It's called Furio.
Furio, I don't know it. You would need, if, take a look through the options. It may be that your software will convert from MP3 to AIFF. You just have to find the right option.
To tell you the truth, I don't think it does.
If not, then you need a different program to do that. There are a bunch of them out on the web.
You got a recommendation?
Audacity is one.
Audacity?
Yeah.
There's a link for that already on our Factor.
There's a link for that on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also go to someplace like TuCows, TuCows,
uh-huh.
which stands for the Ultimate Collection of Windows Software, and search for audio converters.
Okay.
And you'll find a lot of them. Some you pay for, some are free. Pick the one you like and knock yourself out.
All right, thanks.
Commercial programs like Roxio's Easy CD Creator Deluxe does the conversion automatically on the fly for you. So that's one of the features you pay for in that program.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Our next caller is Marty from Niagara Falls.
All right. Which side
of the falls
are you on?
Falls,
yeah.
Marty?
We're on the U.S. side.
Okay, what's
your question? Right across the bridge.
They stop you when you get to the bridge.
Yeah, they do.
I have an older machine that does not have USB ports. I want to put a card in. My motherboard book says it supports USB, but there's no hookups inside.
Right, you probably didn't get the connectors with it.
Right. I'm told that a card would work. My question is, there's the original USB, what, 1.1, and now there's the 2.0. The difference in the price of the cards is minimal, you know, $15 or so.
Yeah, right. Go for 2.0. Yeah.
The 1.1 has a nominal speed of 12 megabits per second. The 2.0 is 380, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something like that. So it's significantly faster.
But if you get 2.0 and you buy a 1.0 or 1.1 peripheral, they'll still work.
Yep.
So
right.
You don't, you know, the higher your card, the better chance you have of buying anything that works. Everything will work with it.
Okay.
But if you can find in your motherboard manual or even on the motherboard the pin connector for the USB, it says it supports, you can probably, well, actually for the cost of the card, $10-$15, buy a back panel connector with the ports on them.
Right. Unfortunately, now that's probably not going to be 2.0. So that's a choice you have to make.
Right.
What version of Windows are you running?
It's a Windows 98 second edition.
Okay, good.
You want to make sure you've got all the updates before you try to do USB.
Right.
Okie doke.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a break while slowly we turn with sound bites. Nick, Dave, Steve, Rob on 1180 WHAM. Oh, we're back. Hi there. Don't try this at home. I'm a professional. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
Rob Linton is surprising me on the buttons, and we're talking to John from Dansville. Welcome, John. What's your question?
How are you guys today?
Apparently somewhere else.
How
are
you? Having fun.
Well, I used to have my, I'm running Windows 98, and I used to have it configured to connect automatically.
John, are you in a car?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're somewhere where you have wind. Okay, go ahead. I don't mean that personally, of course. Go ahead. Start all over, will you, please? Sorry.
I got Windows 98. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
And I used to have it configured to connect automatically.
Connect to what?
The Internet.
Okay.
And about once a week, it would... you'd have to go into Internet Options, Connections, and it would be back to never dial connection. Now it's every time you dial it, every time you want to get onto it, it's always back to that never dial connection setting.
Are you running Windows 98 or Windows 98 SE?
I believe it's 98.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is at least one, if not more, updates to Windows
networking and
your Windows dial-up networking.
You can download Service Pack 1, which collected a lot but not all of the updates into a single download.
Right. You should do all of the updates, but one of the things that you want to download separately, because it's not part of the updates, is the dial-up networking connection. You can search for that on Microsoft's website. I don't know that we have a...
or just go over to one of the local computer stores, and while it's still available, get the 98 SE upgrade. It's got a lot of other features and patches and fixes that weren't in the original Windows 98, and get it while you still can.
Right, and even after adding all of the patches and service packs to the first edition, you still don't have everything the second edition does.
Very good.
So
now, can you tell me when you start it up and you have a blue screen, what it means when terminating threads due to a Stack Overflow problem?
Stack Overflow could be any one of 100 problems. It's likely a software problem. So whatever you loaded just before this error started is the problem, or its interaction with something else. When was the last time you scanned your system for a virus?
A couple days ago.
And when was the last time you updated your antivirus software?
It's supposed to be last night.
Okay. Except then, when was the time you did it before that? Because if you haven't scanned it since you updated it, see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
So you really need to do both much more regularly, and you should be running virus scanning in the background all the time, assuming your machine is fast enough. When you do check it, now we're into the problem where if you've got a virus, it may be bypassing your antivirus software, so your software's not going to find it. But at least try that and see if you can find the problem. If not, Then you're going to have to start, once it does boot, you're going to have to start taking things out of the system and reboot and see what happens. Got to go on to our next caller, Chris from Henrietta. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
Thank you very much, guys. I hope you can help me.
Wow.
We'll try.
This is going to sound like a little problem compared to everyone else.
Okay, then call back next week.
I want a little problem today. We've had a lot of big problems.
This is Dr. Laura, right?
Yeah, that's us. Whatever you want to say.
No. I enjoy
going... You're a slut. You're a pig. Stop it. Don't do it anymore. What's wrong with you? This is America.
Throw him out of the house.
Next caller.
And quit working.
I don't care what you think.
Stay home.
Okay, well, what's your question, Chris?
I enjoy going to the DNC webpage and playing that crossword puzzle game they have on there.
Sure.
I've done it with no problem, and now all of a sudden, for some reason, my Microsoft Windows 98, I don't know if that's the problem. However, when I go to the crossword link, it comes up completely blank where the crossword should be.
What changed in your machine?
I don't think anything. Nothing that I know of.
What it sounds like has happened is that your Java virtual machine, this is a Java applet.
Mm-hmm.
And either you changed the security settings and turned off Java, or your Java virtual machine has become in some way corrupted. What version of Windows are you running?
98.
98 or 98 SE?
It just says 98.
Okay. What version of...
Explorer?
Yeah.
That is 6.0, I believe.
Okay. What you might want to do is reinstall 6 on top of itself.
Well, first go into the tools options and see if Java got turned off somehow.
Right. Go to the tool menu, select Internet Options, go to the last tab, which is Advanced, and if you browse down, you'll find Microsoft VM as one of the choices. And the bottom choice is JIT, Just-in-Time Compiler, for virtual machine enabled.
Now, is it Microsoft? Because I see what you're talking about. It says Java VM.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends on which version of Windows you're running.
Okay, and it's checked off. It says Java JIT compiler enabled, and it's checked.
What are the other ones?
Java console enabled.
You don't need that.
Okay, and then Java logging enabled.
You don't need that.
Yeah, those aren't checked either.
All right, so good. Those are checked. Now we want to look at security.
Okay.
And look at restricted sites.
Okay.
Click the sites button and see if the DNC site is there.
No, it has nothing in it.
Okay, go to the internet sites then.
Okay.
And check to see what the... and click the custom settings button and see if you somehow at some point or another and disabled ActiveX controls, disabled... I don't think cookies matter, but there's a Java VM section in there as well.
Another thing to try is go to another site that uses Java apps. And if you like crossword puzzles, we have a friend of the show, crossdown.com.
Crossdown.com, the magnificent Sam Bellotto, who does the best crosswords on earth.
We'll try that one as well.
And try that one. And if that also doesn't work, then you know that the problem is your machine.
I think it is my machine because I've gone to other things now and found that... It says Java permissions under that security section's high safety.
High safety is okay, but that means that that if indeed it thinks there's a problem with that Java applet, it's going to prevent you from running it. There's another one much farther down called scripting, and scripting of Java applets would need to be enabled.
Okay.
Okie doke.
Okay, I'll try those things. Yeah,
okay,
that is enabled.
And then check to see that your setting is set to medium level. We're going to take a break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Rob, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180. WHAM. Yes, I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Wright.
Rob Linton is on the buttons. I've learned that this little red light means talk. And we're talking to Doug from York. Welcome, Doug. Before we get any farther, York, New York or York, PA?
York, New York.
York, New York. New York, New York. What's your question?
I am running or have been running WinMX file sharing.
Sure.
And I just recently upgraded from version 2.6 to 3.1 and then 3.2, and neither 3.1 or 3.2 was letting me get through my router to the internet.
Oh, yeah, the new versions of WinMX.
And it says to, if you have problems, hit F1 for help. And it says, well, we're working on our site. Come back later.
Yeah, here's the problem. What they've done is changed the ports that need to be opened.
Yes.
And I don't know them in my head, but you have to go to their website, find out what their new ports are, and open those ports on your router.
And how do I open them on the router?
Well, that depends on which router you have. Most of them have a web-based interface.
Okay.
And you can, you know, you'll find that information in your manual.
Well, they didn't. I don't have a manual. It didn't come with one.
What router do you have?
It's a Netgear 314.
You should be able to go to your browser and go to 198.162.1.1 or 0.0, one or the other.
Okay.
And and that
your IP config and see what it says the gateway is. That's the address
right,
of your router.
Right, right. What version of Windows do you say?
192.168.0.2. For the IP address, you mean?
Of you. What does it say your gateway is?
It doesn't say gateway. It just says IP address.
What
default gateway?
Yeah.
Yeah, 192.168.0.1.
That's the kid.
Okay.
Browse to that, and you should get a web browser, system that gives you all the options. You may need to type in a password. Now you're on your own. I don't know what that would be.
Okay.
But somewhere in there will be how to open a port.
The default is usually either admin or 1234.
Yeah, exactly. But so if you didn't change that, that's probably where you are.
Okay.
But knowing which ones those are, now you got to go to the Netgear website.
Okay, I did go to the Netgear website and tried to go through their FAQs and help things, and it suggested a couple of ports, but those didn't work either.
Well, did you put them in the router? Did you open them in the router?
No, I was opening them in that WinMX.
No. Those are the ones you got to open in the router.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Okay. Thanks very much, Doug.
Our next caller is Jack from Waterloo. Welcome, Jack. What's your question?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm running Windows 98 Second Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And a few days ago, I installed some software that came with a digital camera to allow me to download pictures.
Yep.
Okay. Everything went good. And the pictures download perfectly and so forth. But...
Okay, thanks for calling.
Now every time I reboot, I get the little nice little window that says, new hardware found, add new hardware wizard, and wizard searching for unknown device. How can I stop him? I don't really want to talk to him anymore.
Is the camera still connected when you're booting?
No.
Yeah. Try this.
Okay.
You're running Windows 98 SE.
Yes.
Have you been updating it regularly?
Yeah.
Because that's one of the known problems that mm-hmm. one of the service pack updates fixed.
Well, maybe I better go back in and update again.
I would check your updates. You might want to check search for service packs for Microsoft.
Also,
SE and download. I think they're on 2 now. I never remember.
Also, if you read that message really closely, there's a I forget what screen it is, but one of those screens where it says add new hardware, it says stop adding this hardware, don't load a driver, don't ever ask me again, something to that effect.
Yeah.
But go back and check for the updates, and that might alleviate the problem.
Okay, we will give it a try.
Okay. Go for it.
Thank you very much.
Our next caller is V from Rochester. Welcome, V.
Oh, hi there. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Your comments on the amount of RAM my PC thinks it has would be appreciated. So let me explain. If you look in the system's properties and performance, it says it's 382 megabytes.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to programs and then accessories and system tools and systems information, it gives 382 megabytes.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you do setup, it shows 384 megabytes, which is actually how many sticks are in there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do a Dell Diagnostics, it shows the RAM is okay, and it's 384 megabytes.
Yeah.
My question is, where's the other 2 megabytes?
Well, that depends on what the definition of is.
Yeah. Do you have...
Go ahead.
Do you have a separate video card, or is your video built into the motherboard?
Separate card, AGP.
Okay, well, wrong answer. What's likely happened is that 2 megs of RAM that it's missing is usually set aside for motherboard video.
No, what happens is, and this is the way it was back in the old PCs, even though your machine said it had 640, folks would always sit there and see it count up to 1024 and say, well, wait a minute, why don't I have 1024? What it is it's the memory that the resources and everything else are using.
Something is using that memory.
Your operating system and everything else, you know, takes up hunks of memory to make your stacks and everything else.
I didn't tell you that. It always showed the correct amount. It always agreed with the physical sticks that I put in. And just recently, it started to show this 2 megabytes somewhere right. else.
One of the problems that you may be having is a virus. When was the last time you updated your antivirus software?
All the time.
And when was the last time you ran a full scan of everything?
I did it on Thursday. And not only that, this morning, I wanted to end my conversation with this, but I'm not ready to end just yet, and that is, this is the first time this has ever happened. I went into a Deja News because I was looking in Deja News for a solution to this, and I opened up one of the articles, and it was and McAfee caught an HTM virus. I never saw anything like that happen before.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
So I'm pretty current on that, and I did a full system scan just recently, and I have the latest stat files. So what I did do, though, is I installed a USB PCI card, and that's the only thing that I can think that's new in the system.
What's happening is that something is taking up those top 2 meg, obviously. It is likely a driver if you are continuing to stay completely current with all your antivirus software, then it is likely a driver, and I'd have to say it's whatever the last thing was you put in before you noticed the difference.
You may also want to go through your BIOS page by page and see if there's anything that says reserve memory for or allocate memory for, and
right.
that would take memory away from your system. Total.
Right, and the fact that when you go through the power-up process, it says 384, and then all the things that happen after you load the system say 382, tells me that it's during the load that that's happening. And every time you add a new card, it is going to take a certain amount of video of memory out of your system. I'd look at the specs for that USB card and see how big a buffer it's putting up to load, you know, things in while it's working, you know, scratch buffers it's got. And I'll almost guarantee you've got 2 megs of scratch buffers.
Okay, that's great.
And there you go.
Also, the HEP buffer, you can change that, you know, how it's...
Which buffer?
It's the HEP, I'm having a brain cramp here. But there, you can set different window buffering.
Yes, you can. But in this particular case, I'd have to say that it's got to be this card. And in fact, you really don't want to lower that.
No. I'm saying if it got upped even more.
Right. You can even make it more if you want to. But 2 megs should be enough.
Where do I go to check this out?
Check that out in the BIOS and also in the driver for the card. There may be some utilities that came with it.
Okay.
There you go.
Have a nice day.
Thanks. You too. Our next caller is Andy from Clarkson. Welcome, Andy. What's your question?
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. My girlfriend logs on to Pogo.
Yeah.
And she plays this Ward Stomper. Well, ever since I've got Windows XP, she could play any game in Pogo, but when she goes into Ward Stomper, it shuts my computer down. It does a reboot of my system.
Okay.
Only on that one game, Ward Stomper. I could go anywhere else on the web, never have this problem, go to that site, go to that game, shuts the system right down.
I'm afraid that to solve this problem, you may be waiting for Windows XP Service Pack 1. One of the problems is that the newest version of Microsoft's operating system has a few problems with Java. Microsoft is having an argument with Sun. Sun owns Java. So Microsoft has put their own version of Java in, which is not entirely compatible with real Java. And so if they have used one of the features of Java that is not the same as the one that Microsoft doesn't understand, it'll shut your system down.
You could also try flushing out the cookies in temporary internet firewall.
Try that. I've done that.
Yeah.
And gone back into it, and boom, same thing.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're going to have to wait and see if Service Pack 1 fixes that. It's frankly unlikely because it's going to be the same kind of problem, but we'll see. We got to go. It's been a great week. I want to thank Dave, Steve, and Rob. Please check out the website. Join the forums. Buy stuff in the store. Take the poll. For Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons, I'm Nick Francesco on America's longest-running computer radio show, Soundbites, only on 1180 WHAM.